My name is Yosef. I'm one of the pastors here. Let's pray together before we listen to God's word. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thanks for the blood of Christ. We stand here with the power of the blood, Father. Forgive our sins and let us to be closer to you. Let us to listen to you, be partner with you, and be more like you, Lord. Help us, Holy Spirit, in this journey. Amen. So I want us to begin with the scripture that helps us to understand better why our topic today is beyond the walls of the church. So let's read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 to 14. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, when the people sinned, God gave them a way to be forgiven. They would bring an animal as a sacrifice. The priest would take the blood into the holy place, but the rest of the animal, the body, was taken outside the camp and burned there. Outside the camp was a place of rejection, uncleanness, and shame. It was a way of showing that sin had to be removed completely, taken far away from God's presence. Hebrews 13 says, just like those sacrifices, Jesus also suffered outside the city of Jerusalem. So if Hebrews 13 calls us to go outside the camp with Jesus, we have to ask, what does that mean for us today? For the first Christians, it meant dying to their sins, leaving behind the comfort and acceptance of the temple system, and go and preach the word of God and live out their faith. For us too, it also means dying to sin, stepping outside our comfort zone, outside traditions, outside religious habits, even outside the safety of our church walls to follow Jesus where he is. But before we talk about going outside the camp and beyond the walls, we need to make sure we understand what the church really is. Because if we get that wrong, everything else we do will be built on the wrong foundation. When most people think of church, they picture a building, a place where sermons are preached, worship music is played, and maybe there is coffee and cookies afterward. My son knows that. But biblically, the church is not a building at all. Not at all. The church is people. People who belong to Jesus, joined together as his body. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Jesus is the head, we are the members. Each part is different, but all are connected. How we wish all the world were connected, but it's not. Look at the world. Most people are self-centered. Friendship and respect is often based on what they can receive from others and so on. Only in Jesus does true brotherhood and sisterhood happen. Only in Jesus are there bounds of unity and friendship that last a lifetime. This means the church is not just something we go to. It is something we are. So you are the church wherever you go. Now, if you search online for why people say they go to church, you might find things like this too. I go to this church because they helped me. I go to this church because we helped this church financially. I go to this church because my friends are there, and so on. Now, please hear me. I'm not attacking them or people's stories. But when I hear these reasons, I come to this point. What's missing is the real definition of the church. The church is not built on the leader's personal style or our music preferences or even on being accepted for who we think we are. None of those define the church. The church is built on Jesus Christ himself and his teaching, which reminds us of the Great Commission. In the Great Commission, Jesus didn't say, you should go out, be like others, and obey them. He said, be my disciples and obey my commands, and go and teach them to do the same. So if the church is not just a building, and it's not about preferences, then what is it truly built on? This is where we need to see the difference between religion and the living relationship Jesus offers. I remember a Persian student once asked, are there any rules I should follow before coming to the church? And I told her, come as you are. She smiled and said, okay, I'll just make sure I wear clean clothes and smell good. And we laughed. We laughed, but later I realized her question was about more than clothing. Deep down, she wanted to find a way. What does she have to do to be accepted by people and by God? But there is only one way to truly understand the church. The church is beyond a religion of the way. Timothy Keller explained it well. Most religions in the world are about the way, the path, the rules, the practices that supposedly lead you to God. In Islam, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, my ancient religion, Hinduism, you have a set of steps to follow. But in Christianity, the way is not a set of steps. It is a person. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the church is a person. That's why the church is not an institution of rules. It's a living body connected to a living Savior. Salvation is not something you achieve. It is someone you receive. Tim Keller says, Jesus doesn't come to tell you what to do to find God. He comes to do for you what you couldn't do. Christ came to shape you and me into who we were made to be. And if that's true, if we are a living body connected to a living Savior, then we cannot stay locked inside. We must go where our head, Jesus, is leading us. Remember, we are the body of Christ and he is the head. And that brings us back to Hebrews' call to go outside the camp. Hebrews says Jesus suffered outside the city of Jerusalem, rejected by the religious leaders, treated as unclean, dying in a shameful place to make us holy by his own blood. And here is the call. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. In the Gospels, Jesus did not stay inside the comfort of the synagogue. He went out to the poor, the hurting, the broken, the forgotten, the rejected. It means we don't just stay inside safe religious spaces. We go to the streets, to the homes, to the broken places. Church happens out there, not just in here. I would like to share with you the story of a Muslim background, a brother and pastor named Muhammad Bagher Yusefi, known as Ravanbakhsh, which means soul giver. Soul giver. I hope his story helps us to trust and acknowledge God, acknowledge who the church really is and who it is built on, and to acknowledge our call to go beyond the walls of the church. He was born in 1963, and from a young age, he had a deep love for God, though as a Muslim. One day, while listening to a Christian radio program, he gave his heart to the Lord and began his journey of faith. He lived to serve, to give, and to guide people to the kingdom of God. While serving, he met a faithful woman named Akhtar. Their relationship led to marriage, and they continued serving the Lord as a couple. Even when the government told him to stop speaking about Jesus, he stayed strong and continued to love people, welcome them, and give them hope. when one of their friends, another fellow Muslim background, Pastor Mahdi Dibaj, was arrested. He and his wife helped take care of his children, though they themselves didn't have enough. What made Ravan Bakhsh special was not just what he did, but who he was. His life showed believers that ministry is not just about action. It is about character. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, that if we speak beautifully but do not have love, we are just making noise. I was in a Christian school last week, and the dean of the school said, I hope when you come to the school and when you see me, don't believe that just because I say I'm Christian that I'm a Christian, but I want to hear that you saw in me Christ. You see my character, personality, the way that I walk and talk are showing Christ. Ravan Bakhsh lived a life of real life, Pastor Ravan Bakhsh. He was called the soul giver. That name truly fit him. He was kind and entered into people's pain. He was spiritually awake. He was gentle, like a shepherd. He was honest. He couldn't lie to protect himself or betray others. He was a man of prayer. On October 6, 1996, at 6 a.m., he left home to go pray. He never returned. Later that day, his lifeless body was found hanging in a forest. His life and death reflect the path of faithful servants and apostles of Christ, those who walk the narrow road of the cross. I want to share a short video from Christians in Iran, our brothers and sisters, and Pastor Ravan Bakhsh. And my hope is, when you watch this video, we learn something from it. Let's play the video, please. Thank you.
This is a group of Christians at their summer camp in Iran, singing a song about trusting their Lord. Although numerous Christians were persecuted for their faith in the 90s, several ministers among this group were ultimately murdered brutally not long after this camp. Despite the obvious danger, Haik spoke out against the murder of Reverend Sudman and made sure his blind widow and children were looked after.
مسئله بهشت و ملکوت خدا برای من خیلی زنده تر و ملموس تر شد. فهمیدم که چرا پولس مثل برادر من میتونست بگه که من بین دو چیز گیر کردم. از یه لحاظ میخوام که زودتر برم به آسمان، ملکوت آسمان را ببینم. از یه طرف هم میبینم که وجود من برای خدمت به کلیسا لازم.
The Church of Iran did not die under such persecutions. It continued to grow. All Christians knew what a great sacrifice the church had given.
I did lay down his life. And there we again echo the words of Jesus. They did not take it from me. I laid it down of myself. Because he spoke up, among others, for men. Who said I should have died?
صبح جمعه که عیسی مسیح صلیب شد یک نفر میدونست که عیسی مسیح به جای او صلیب شد و اون باراباس بود. میگه در کلیسای ایران یه نفر میدوند که برادر هایک به جای او جان و کاش دعای همه ما امشب عهد و پیمان همه ما امشب با عیسی مسیح همینطور باشد، همینطور که تو به جای من جان تو فدا کردی. من قول میدم از این به بعد هر دقیقه زندگیم رو برای جلال تو زندگی کنم و برای تو بمیرم.
ما هیچ وقت پشیمان نشدیم که برای افرادی مثل ایشان برادرهای جون خودشو فدا کرد.
And the word of God says greater love has no one than to give his life for his friend. Jesus gave his life for us so we can be his friends. And I gave his life for a friend to the glory of God. And for that we praise the Lord. Always.
Hayek's martyrdom was not the end of the persecution in Iran. Only 6 months after Hayek's death on July 1994, Reverend Mikaelian was shot in the head. He was a zealous Christian teacher, writer, and pastor. Only a few days later, on July 5, 1994, Reverend Mehdi Dabaj was found dead in the forests of Karaj, near Tehran.
وقتی شنیدیم ابتدا کشیش میکایلیان چهارشنبه ناپدید شده و بعد شنبه خبر دادن که ایشون جنازه‌اش در جایی هست و بعد وقتی رفتن و جنازه ایشون رو پیدا کردن اونجا آدرسی بود از این که نشون میداد برادر لیباج هم در جای دیگری دفن شده. بعد از 3 روز اختلاف دو کشیش دوباره شهید شدند.
Later, on September 28, 1996, Reverend Mohammad Bakher Yousefi was found hung from a tree in northern Iran. He was known as Ravan Bakh, meaning soul giver.
برادرهایی که از دست داده بودیم، خودمون تنها شده بودیم. حالا شوهرم هم از دست داده بودیم. دیگه خیلی تنها شده بودیم. پس برای من خیلی باور کردنش سخت بود.
It just came to my heart to ask you for 20-second silence in remembrance of them, but while you're closing your eyes, remember one phrase that the Lord said in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned against him and left him. He said, "Where are you, Adam?" As you are remembering this video, maybe you ask yourself, "Where are you?" Let's have silence. For you all, we can trust him. He is faithful. You can open your eyes now. Do you like to be called a soul giver? Do you like to go outside of the walls of the church? Pastor Ravan Bakhsh literally lived outside this camp, outside the camp, bearing disgrace for Christ. Maybe one thing we need to do is to pray and ask God to change our lifestyle, to be a soul giver. Ravan Bakhsh's life reminds us that the strongest ministry doesn't always happen inside the church building, but it happens with a correct understanding of the meaning of the church. It happens in faith, deep love, sacrifice, and strong courage among those who never experienced God's love. 15 years ago, I had the privilege to meet his wife, Akhtar. She said, "We did not believe in Jesus because church life was easy. We believed because we know that Christ is true. Our faith stayed alive even in dark times. For us, the church was never just a building. The church was where we saw God walking with those who suffer." She said, "We want to show that the real church is where real life and real faith come together. It is not just a system of tradition, appearance, or control." Today, Akhtar is among us. And I ask her to come to our church, and I want her to come up and share a little bit about herself. She's going to speak in Farsi, and I'm going to translate for you. There are only a couple of questions. I tried to share most of her story here. Akhtar, khar. Is this work? ببین کار میکنه. یه سلام بده ببین کار میکنه. ببین کار میکنه. Good.
Hello everybody. I'm so happy here. I'm really thankful from God. He's alive. I'm alive too. We are alive too.
The first question I'm going to ask her is, can you tell us a bit about yourself and how you came to faith in Jesus?
اسم من اختره ولی مینو هم صدا میکنن. اهل ایران هستم، سالها در ایران زندگی کردم ولی الان در کانادا هستم و با بچه هم دارم زندگی میکنم. در یه خانواده مذهبی بزرگ شده بودم که خیلی تعصب داشتن نسبت به اعتقادات ما و زیاد درباره مسیح اون موقع نمیدونستم، ولی واقعا از بچگی عاشق عیسی مسیح بودم و اونو حضرت عیسی خطاب میکردم، ولی نمیدونستم که اون خداست، فکر میکردم پیامبره و من برای همه پیامبران احترام قائل بودم. و توی محله ما یه خانم ارمنی مسیحی اونجا زندگی میکرد که من همیشه از اون مسیح میرفتم مدرسه و معمولا ارمنی زیاد با فارسای ایرانی صمیمی نیستن، زیاد همدیگه رو علاقه نداشتن ارامنه با فارسا. بعد مدتی گذشت که من کلیسایی پیدا کردم و از اونجا یک کتاب مقدس گرفتم از همون خانم ارمنی و بعد از مطالعات زیادی متوجه شدم که فقط عیسی مسیح خداونده و تصمیم گرفتم که زندگیمو به او بسپارم. در این حالی که خیلی جوان بودم، 20 سالم بودش و این باعث شد که به مسیح ایمان بیارم. قبل از ایمان به مسیح تجربه خاصی داشتم. یه روز طبق عادات مسلمانی نماز میخوندم، همونطور که نشسته بودم چادر و اینا نماز میخوندم، احساس کردم یه دستی روی شونه‌های من، تمام بدنم گرم شد، خیلی برام تعجب میکردم. یه لحظه برگشتم عیسی مسیح رو انگار دیدم و واقعا فکر مطمئن شدم که این همون خداییه که من باید بهش ایمان بیارم و به مسیح ایمان آوردم و خیلی دعا میکردم که بیشتر بدونم. بعدها با همسرم روانبخش آشنا شدم. با اینکه زیر حکومت اسلامی خیلی مشکلات زیادی بود، ولی باز هم به خدمتی که من داشتم ادامه دادم و رها نکردم.
So my name is Akhtar. Did you understand? My name is Akhtar. You can call me Minu. I have been living in Canada for many years with my two children. I was born into a religious family. I didn't know much about Jesus, but even as a Muslim, I respected Jesus more than any other prophet. In our neighborhood, there was a Christian Armenian woman. Usually Armenian people did not get close to Farsi-speaking Muslims, but I became friends with her. Later, I found a church that gave me a Bible. Reading the Bible touched my heart and helped me believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But even before that, I had a special experience. One day, I was praying Muslim style, standing before God, and suddenly I felt a hand on my shoulder. It was like someone was next to me. I felt peace. I heard a voice in my heart saying, "I am with you." I believe that was Jesus. That moment changed my life. Later, I married Pastor Ravan Bash. Even though we had many problems under the Islamic regime, we continued serving Jesus together. Now, what kind of person was your husband in his faith? Why was he willing to risk his life to share the gospel?
همسرم خیلی ایمان قوی داشت و میگفت که ما خودمون مسیحی شدیم، نباید بشینیم، باید تلاش کنیم تا مردم بتونن نجات پیدا کنن و ایمان بیارن و تو پیام مسیح رو باید به تمام مردم هر جا که هستن، چه هر شهری تو ایران که هست، باید بریم باهاشون صحبت کنیم که مسیح تنها راه نجات ماست. و در واقع برای شوهر من، اون و فقط یک کلیسای ساختمان نبود، جایی بود که حضور خدا در اونجا بود. کلیسا کنار آدمایی باشیم که درد دارن، دلش خیلی برای کسانی که خدا رو نمیشناسن میسوخت و درد اونها رو درد خودش میدونست. همسرم باور داشت که یک روز جلوی عیسی مسیح میستید و باید به او جواب بدیم برای ایمانی که بهش داده شده. برای همین بیرون از کلیسا میرفت سراغ مردم، با مردم حرف میزد و خیلی محبت داشت، خیلی فروتن بود و تمامش عمل میکرد به اون چی که میگفت. اون آدمی نرم، مهربان و وفادار بود همیشه.
My husband believed that we didn't become Christians just to sit in church and be comfortable. He believed that believers are saved to share the good news with others. For him, church was not just a building. It was where God is present. It was walking with people who are hurting. He cared deeply for people who didn't believe in God. Their pain became his pain. He believed that one day, he would stand before Christ and give an answer for the gift of the faith he received. That's why he went outside the church to reach others, not just with words, but with love, kindness, and action. He was soft, faithful, and strong man. And the last question I have is, what would you like to say to us, to churches in Canada?
برای کلیسای کانادا واقعا خدا رو شکر میکنم که وجود داره، خیلی هم زیاد، و کلیسا جایی هست که مردم میتونن بیان در مورد عیسی مسیح بشنون و نجات پیدا کنن. و درسته که هیچ کلیسای بی عیب و نقص نیست، ولی بازم برکت بزرگی است برای کلیسا، جایی است که نور خدا میتونه تو قلب مردم باشه. وقتی تازه به کانادا اومدم زندگی خیلی سختی رو پشت سر گذروندم، مخصوصا اولش، ولی همون موقع هم دلم میخواست مردم عیسی رو بشناسن. هر جا که میرفتم، چه تو اتوبوس، چه مغازه، هر جا میرفتم راجع به مسیح صحبت میکردم و بهشون تراکت میدادم و دعوتشون میکردم به کلیسا. و کشیش من اونجا خیلی راضی بود، خیلی خوشحال بود برای اینجور مسائل. و بزرگترین دغدغه من این بود که مردم باید نجات پیدا کنن. این وظیفه ماست که بریم و به اونها بشارت بدیم و با اونها صحبت کنیم که فقط عیسی مسیح خداونده. همانطور که خدا به ما رحم کرد تا به مسیح ایمان بیاریم، منم میخواستم بقیه به عیسی مسیح ایمان بیارن. نمیخواستم هیچ کس به جهنم بره، میخوام همه وارد پادشاهی خدا بشن، چون ایمان آوردن به عیسی بزرگترین هدیه است که هر کس میتونه در این دنیا، در این زندگی برای خودش داشته باشه.
I always thank God for the churches in Canada. These are places where people can come, hear about Jesus, and be saved. It is true, churches are not perfect, but they are still a great blessing. They are places where God's light can shine into hearts. When I came to Canada, life was very, very difficult, especially in the beginning. But even then, I wanted people to know Jesus. Wherever I went, on the bus, in the street, in store, if I had a chance, I would talk to people about Christ. I gave them Bibles, church addresses, and invited them to come. The most important thing for me was that people find salvation. Just like God had mercy on me, I wanted others to know the way. I don't want anyone to go to hell. I want everyone to enter God's kingdom. Because believing in Jesus is the greatest gift anyone can receive in this life. Thank you, Akhtar.
Thank you.
Akhtar didn't have chance to say a lot of things that happened to her during this last years in Canada. So I know what she went through, even with churches. And her presence here encourages me to live out my faith. Thank you. So church is not about building, music, gathering, race, age, numbers, traditions. It's not about performance or popularity. It's not just about an individual. It's about real life meeting real faith, Akhtar reminded us. In Jesus outside the camp, Jesus said, "Be my disciples and obey my commands and go out and teach others to do the same." He didn't say there will be no cost. We need to pray to grow in Christ in his suffering, because he will send us to the world, outside the camp, outside the comfort zone, where it is dark and people are lost. And in order to encourage us, he reminded us that we are not alone in this mission. Remember, we are his church. We are his body. He is the head, a living body. Jesus is the head. He is with us wherever we go. God bless you. As a worship team, I want to invite worship team to come. I forgot. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Spirit. Thanks for your kindness and your love towards us, human being. From the beginning, you made a plan to come and die for our sins and to give us chance to be more like you until the day that we will see you in heaven. May your name be glorified, Father, and may we bring glory to your name as we live on earth until we see you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. For the benediction, when I met Akhtar, she told me she cannot speak the language and need to prepare to say something. I said to her, your presence is enough, because I want us to taste and see a real church. So as we are heading outside, remember Jesus went outside the city to bring salvation. In the same way, our faith is not meant to stay only in our gatherings, but to be lived and shared in everyday life. Beyond the walls doesn't mean the church building. It means not limiting our faith to just church activities, but following Jesus wherever he heads. You and I have the incredible privilege to know Jesus, grow together, suffer together, and share him with a broken world. So let's be a church like that. Let's be like Pastor Ravan Bash, a soul giver. I also printed some papers. These are the full Akhtar's story, or Minu, she wrote here, so you can take it when you go outside. Also, we want to pray for one of our members, our young adults, Kira. She is leaving soon. Kira, can you please come up? Just want to pray for her as she is living and bless her. She was a blessing for us, and we will see you soon. You're not going to go anywhere. Do you want to say where you go, and what can we pray for you?
So I leave this Thursday, and I will be going to Harpenden in England. And yeah, I just appreciate all the support you've given me and for all the prayers that you've given me. Thank you.
Someone can join me for to pray? Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you for you. Thank you for Kira. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your presence in her life. Mm-hmm. I should say that I really see church in her. Mm-hmm. We trust in you, Lord, as she is living. Be with her, encourage her, remind her that the power of the blood of Jesus is with her. Wherever she goes, may she learn more and more and she become more like you. We also want to pray for her family here, as they're going to be separate from one another. It's not an easy task, Lord. Let them to trust in you and remember that they have a family that they are praying for their daughter, Kira. And we are thankful that other believers in England are going to support Kira and let her to know more about you. And we hope to see her soon, and we can't wait for that day. Be with her in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you, worship team.